Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Today on Skincare with Friends, I'm talking to Skylar Stein, who is president of GladSkin. GladSkin is a skincare company which creates microbiome-friendly skincare products that target conditions like eczema and acne and rosacea. The human microbiome is a barrier system, so it's made up of commensal bacteria, we call them, and these friendly bacteria provide a barrier against pathogens like bacteria called Staph aureus and P. acnes, which can exacerbate and cause eczema and acne. So I was interviewing Skylar today about how we can protect our skin barrier by supporting the microbiome and how his product works. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends. And today on Skincare with Friends, I have a guest, Skylar Stein, who is president of GladSkin. GladSkin is a microbiome-friendly skincare brand which targets specific skin complaints such as eczema. And today I'm going to talk with Skylar about the skin's microbiome. Hi, Skylar. How are you?
Inya, doing great. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Good. Yeah, lovely to meet you. Can you tell us a little bit about your entry into the world of skincare? How did skincare become so important to you?
Yeah, it was actually a circuitous route that got me to here to where I am today. It was definitely not direct, but I'm happy to share the story. So buckle up. I actually started out in university, in college at Duke, studying genomic sciences and the impact on the future. And I shifted my focus while I was the time there, but it ultimately brought me back into the scientific focus. I had started my career in more of the business world, in finance and investing in and growing different types of businesses. And then ultimately, I was going back to get my MBA from Harvard Business School, and I started feeling really lousy about 2 to 3 weeks in, and got a lot of testing done and actually had found out that I had Lyme disease. Which was devastating to me. I took a medical leave of absence from Harvard, moved back home to San Diego and started treatment, which was heavy doses of antibiotics to kill the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. And through that process, I started researching antibiotics and the implications given the amount I was taking. And I stumbled across the microbiome, which is all of the bacteria that live in and on our body. And more research is coming out showing that it's actually those good bacteria and the balance of the bacteria that live with us that help keep us healthy, help keep us free of disease. And so I started, it really launched me into this obsession with the microbiome. And I actually started a research study on myself, studying the impact of the antibiotics on my microbiome and the recovery of my microbiome for the 52 weeks afterwards as well.
Well, that's really fascinating. So Lyme disease, that's a sort of disease you get from being outdoors and being in contact with ticks, I understood.
Yep. I love hiking. I love being outdoors. I spent a summer in the Northeast, and I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but I must have gotten kind of bit by a tick, and a couple months later started feeling pretty lousy. So that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And so taking all those antibiotics, you thought, this is not right. Everything's wrong now. I need to investigate more about this whole sphere of the microbiome and what it's doing to me.
Yeah. So about around the same time, the cost of sequencing and really understanding what your microbiome was had dropped about 100 times from the 10 years prior. So it really opened up this new tool, this new microscope that allows us to really see what's happening in our microbiomes. And so I kind of use that as an opportunity to really study myself, given kind of declared nuclear war on my own microbiome through all the antibiotics I was taking, and had some really interesting learnings that came with it. For example, I tested every different type of probiotic out there to see if that would really help restore my microbiome. And, the cheap ones, the more expensive ones, really anything. And I could not see any sort of connection or correlation with the type of probiotics I was taking and the actual improvement in my gut microbiome. What I found from that perspective that worked the best really was actually eating different types of fibers, which is present in vegetables. So it's really the fibers that are food for the bacteria that already live in your gut that really make it a healthy environment for the good bacteria to grow. And then your health benefits from more of those bacteria growing. The probiotics themselves, which are just the live bacteria themselves, didn't really seem to stick or really impact what was happening there. An analogy I've thought of before it's kind of like throwing some seeds on the asphalt and hoping for the plants to grow. You need to make sure it's the right kind of environment, it's being watered, the right kind of soil and nutrients for those types of bacteria to take over. So it's really the fiber and the foods that I saw had the biggest impact in my microbiome.
Yeah. So, all of those probiotic drinks that you see all over the place, it's quite possibly a marketing ploy, and all you really need to do is eat well.
Yes. And there's been some research that shows that probiotics can be helpful as they're passing through, but they don't stick and change things for the better.
Okay. That's really interesting because you'd think that, if you've got something wrong with your gut, all you need to do is just put the right thing in and it'll be fine. But that's not the case.
Yeah. I think the more we learn about this, the more we learn how much we don't know and how complex the systems really are inside of us.
Yeah.
That's been a big learning for me. And it's really easy for us in conversation to communicate kind of the causal and effect. But the more we learn, the more we learn how complex these relationships really are.
Yeah.
But I realize I never fully answered your question on how this got me into the world of skincare. So once I had done that, I went to go work for a venture capital fund called Obvious Ventures, based in Silicon Valley, founded by some of the founders of Twitter, Ev Williams. And I went and worked looking at opportunities to invest in the commercialization of new microbiome science. Really, at that point, was convinced of the impact of the microbiome and that it was really going to change the way we understand human health and how the human body works. So really decided to focus the next stage of my commit and focus next stage of my career in that area. And through the process, while I was looking for investment opportunities there, I had the opportunity to call nearly every researcher business that I could find in the world that was doing cool new things related to kind of manipulating your microbiome to improve health. And through that process, I found a biotech company. I reached out to a biotech company based in the Netherlands called Mycrios, which was developing endolysin technology. And compared to anything else, any other company I had spoken to, They were so far ahead in terms of their research, in terms of their approach, that essentially worked with them. And they have a brand called Gladskin, which they incorporate their patented endolysin technology into, for people with serious skin problems like acne, eczema, and rosacea. So mm-hmm. I've ended up joining them full time to launch the Gladskin brand into the US market.
That's really interesting. So, you know, a lot of people are going to be, I'm really confused about it. And nowadays we're seeing a lot more skincare products that have prebiotic, probiotic written on them. And I think, you know, everyone's just going to be confused and happily buying them thinking that they're going to be helping their skin. So, you know, can probiotic or prebiotic skincare give us any benefit?
So I'll start with kind of what those are and what that really means.
Yeah.
So prebiotics are essentially what I described previously as fiber. So it's really food for the good bacteria. Mm. So instead of putting a live bacteria on, you want to feed the good bacteria, hoping that they take over, they grow and flourish. And so you have more good, diverse, healthy bacteria, mm. whether you're talking about in your gut or on your skin. Probiotics are actually putting the live bacteria on your skin, hoping that they'll take hold, they'll replicate, they'll flourish, and they'll okay. change your microbiome from that perspective. And there's what is referred to as postbiotics as well, which are actually taking the metabolites or the chemicals that good bacteria naturally produce. Like each bacteria is really a little chemical factory that has certain inputs and outputs. Mm. And so it's really capturing the output of healthy bacteria and applying that directly to the body, whether it's in the gut or on the skin, to manipulate mm. the microbiome. Endolysins, what Gladskin does, is a completely different approach compared to those three. And it actually mm. works directly to remove just the problem causing bacteria,
okay,
while protecting all of the good and healthy bacteria. So it's we view it as a much more direct approach when we know for the conditions that we know there's a specific type of bacteria that's causing the problem.
So what sort of chemical is the active ingredient? Is it a enzyme or?
Yeah. It's a protein. Also, mm-hmm. technically classified as an enzyme, but it's called an endolysin, and they are naturally occurring molecules that are in and on our body all of the time. So our immune systems are completely used to working with endolysins all the time. So at Gladskin, what we've done is we've kind of replicated an endolysin that works to remove a very specific type of bacteria that we know that is kind of proven to cause certain problems in skin conditions mm. as a very direct way of resolving the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a sort of a little aside. So the microbiome, you've got, you know, your healthy bacteria, and then there's pathogenic bacteria that are trying to attack the skin. So how would you know if you've got, something wrong with your microbiome? It's probably a very complicated topic.
Yeah,
because you know you've got people with genetic skin conditions, so it can't just all be about the microbiome. But you know, what sort of role are these bacteria playing, and how do you know that it's the bacteria that's wrong?
Yep. So the first answer overall is really complex, and a lot of the answer really yeah. depends. An overall framework we like to think about is there are absolutely genetic components to different skin conditions like eczema and rosacea. However, there are people that have those genetic those genetic profiles, but don't have the condition. So all it means is you're more likely mm. to have that condition. And so a way to look at this is your microbiome imbalance can really be what takes you from being prone, kind of genetically prone to have the condition, to actually having the condition. Mm. So even if your genetics, you're genetically more likely to have rosacea or eczema, for example, if you can keep your skin microbiome healthy, it is a way to potentially prevent those conditions from really expressing themselves on your skin.
Mm, yeah, it's a definite contributing factor.
And we know, and just wanted to add on that, we know for inflammatory types of skin conditions, there's specific types of bacteria that once that condition starts developing, there's that skin condition is actually an environment that problem causing bacteria like to thrive in. So then they find a home there, start causing more problems, which really increases the cycle, makes inflammation worse, makes it an even better environment for those bad bacteria to live. So if you can cut out that cycle, it gives your skin the opportunity to heal and come back to normal, which is what it wants to do.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, I think people are seeing something happening to their microbiome that's never happened before because they're wearing masks and their skin is in a different environment. You know, it's, you know, having to wear a mask all the time means you're sweating more, mm-hmm. there's more humidity. And I think I've got an unusual skin condition at the moment. I've got perioral dermatitis mm-hmm. that I've never had before. And like the only thing I can attribute to is wearing something over my face all day long. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that, you know, I think lots of people are noticing a difference in their microbiome at the minute, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And something that's really interesting is there's different microbiomes. And it's relatively consistent across people, meaning that the microbiome of my forehead is probably more likely similar to the microbiome of your forehead versus my forehead and my, in between my toes or behind my knee.
Yeah.
And so different type, exactly like you mentioned, different types of bacteria prefer different sort of climates, just like there's certain animals that live in the tundra versus the rainforest versus the ocean. And it works the same way on the different parts of our body. So when you change that climate by adding, you know, wear a mask and adding more humidity, it changes the weather for those microorganisms and kind of makes it a more favorable environment for things to change, which your skin isn't used to, which can start causing problems.
Mm. So which bacteria does GLAD Skin target?
So the GLAD Skin.
Is there a specific one?
Yep. So the GLAD Skin products in Europe are formulated with a product of endolysin called Staph Effect. And that endolysin really targets the Staph aureus bacteria. And there's been tremendous amount of research in the academic and scientific communities, not only linking staph as a trigger for eczema, but also more recent research has come out showing that the actual toxin that the staph bacteria actually produces toxins and we directly know that those toxins aggravate or induce inflammation and are causative in the condition. Previously, we just knew that there was a correlation, meaning people with an eczema flare had higher levels of staph and lower of staph aureus and lower levels of microbiome diversity. But this new research is really connecting those dots in a much more concrete way.
Yeah, I've heard about bleach baths recommended for eczema sufferers to try and reduce their staph aureus count. So I'm sure a cream is preferable to a bath in dilute bleach, which doesn't sound very pleasant at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a major, you know, reason that we're out here and we want to make sure that people know that GLAD Skin exists. It's on the market. It's helping people every day. And we're really trying to get the word out so we can help more and more people with this technology. Yeah.
So which skin conditions does GLAD Skin target? Is it just eczema?
Yep. Yeah. We have products for eczema, acne, and rosacea.
And they're all based on the same active ingredient?
Yes. Staph Effect is in each of them, and it really targets the inflammatory component of each of those when staff is involved.
Yeah. And then in a different formula for different skin types for each. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct.
Ah. So is there any sort of skincare tips regarding the biome? Is there any way that we can, you know, change our skincare routine to be more biome friendly, do you think?
Absolutely. I think over time, you know, marketing companies have told us we need to sterilize ourselves. Mm. We need to be clean, you know, we need to be even more clean than we already are. There's different types of soap for your hands, for your face, for your hair. And really when it comes to building up your microbiome for someone without a skin condition, really less is more, meaning the less you do to your, the less you manipulate your skin with products, the better it is for the microbiome, the bacteria that are already living there. That's if your microbiome is in harmony already, if it is in balance. When things are out of balance, you need to kind of take proactive steps to help nudge the microbiome to get it back into balance, whether that is, and many times that's about removing direct bacteria that we know are causing the problem there and taking up the ecological niche that would otherwise be filled by healthy bacteria. Mm. The other thing is preservatives.
Oh, okay.
Something that's not really well talked about in skincare is that preservatives are in products not to preserve or keep the active ingredients active. They are really there to prevent contamination of bacteria inside of the bottle. Mm. So it's not there to maximize, it's not there for skin health. It's there to make sure that products don't get contaminated with all the bacteria out there in the environment. And it can really help extend the shelf life of products on the shelves. So retail stores can hold them for longer on the shelves, which is good for business.
Yeah.
There are other, at GladSkin, what we've done is our products are preservative free, and we do that by producing them in extremely clean facilities, and we package the products in airtight packaging. So we really invest in high-tech packaging that helps keep the products safe compared to, that's it right there.
Yeah, I've got the tube, yeah.
Yep, completely airless. As opposed to using a cheaper chemical preservative in order to keep the product stable.
Yeah, because your ingredient list is really small. It's really short.
Yep, and that's it. Really in line with our ethos and the philosophy that it's really about, you know, for example, the eczema product, we've created as basic as a fragrance-free, preservative-free moisturizer as you possibly can. No, you won't find any rare superfoods from the Amazon or anything like that in there. It's really, how do we get the most basic moisturizer that provides us moisturizing properties that also is a vehicle to deliver the endolysin, which works to actively rebalance the skin microbiome.
Well, that's really good. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, these companies, they have like these huge long ingredient lists just for this, you know, for the sake of having these things in it. And, but, you know, your skin is going to be reacting to every single chemical, and you can't just put so many things on your face without expecting some sort of effect. So, you know, if you've got sensitive skin or eczema prone skin, you want to find a product with like the shortest ingredient list you possibly can. And it's really short.
Absolutely. We're really all about skin health, which may be different from cosmetic brands, which are about either making sure the products are as pleasant to apply as possible, or that they smell nice when you're applying them, so you really get that feeling. Our mentality when we launch skincare products is what is actually best for your skin, taking everything else out of it. And we know that less is more, and simpler the better, and that, you know, getting these endolysins onto the skin is really what's going to have the impact.
So once you've been using Glad Skin for a while, does it have a long-term effect? Will it sort of change the microbiome for a while?
We see certain people who use Glad Skin use it for a period of time and then tell us that, you know, they no longer have the problem. That's from some of our customer surveys where when we ask, why haven't you purchased again? There's a meaningful number of people who say that. That does not mean that will be the case for everybody. And it really is, the way to be the most sure is to, you know, continue using the product as long as you need it. The microbiomes are never static. They're always changing. Mm. And so if you can proactively keep the problem causing bacteria under control and don't give them an opportunity to kind of take hold, that's really setting yourself up best for success over the long term.
Yeah. And I guess as you're doing different things and, you know, going into different environments and wearing masks or cleaning your face, your biome is going to change and you might need it again. And periodically, it might be something you need to sort of come back to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're nearly running out of time, aren't we? I could ask you so many millions of questions. Where can we find Glad Skin?
Yep. So Glad Skin's available at gladskin.com. We are available across Europe as well as the United States. And that's where our current footprint. But our goal is to really make these products available to as many people as possible worldwide. We launched the products in Europe, and due to the kind of overwhelmingly positive feedback, we're really in scaling up mode to get the, you know, make the products available in as many places as we can.
My brain is completely fallen out of my mouth. Right. Is there anything else you wanted to say? Any other points we needed to make?
Yeah, I think one thing overall I'd like to share is that for consumers, it's really, really important to understand the difference between, you know, marketing and reality when it comes to skincare products. And as much as you can do your research and really understand a company, its products, where they're coming from, I think people will be better off. It's really easy to look at the surface, but for people suffering with real skin problems, doing as much research as you can about the company and the technology they're putting in their products and the ethos behind it, more than the marketing lingo, I think will really help set people up for success.
Yeah. Find a brand that you trust, and, you know, Glad Skin certainly has a very sort of clinical way of marketing. Like I love the insert and the specific instructions in it. Really useful and interesting. Yeah. And it feels, you know, like a lovely product. It's not that, you know, it's so clinical that it's unpleasant. It's really nice and moisturizing.
Absolutely.
I've enjoyed using it. Yeah.
Some of our doctors that use the product and recommend the product to their patients in the US have told us there's multiple phases of trying a skincare product. The first is first application. And in order for there to be compliant, for people to use the product consistently that is needed to have the benefit, it needs to be at least enjoyable to put on. And it can't be too greasy or otherwise, people just aren't going to use it and to try it. So in order to actually help the most people, you also need to get products that, you know, that are moisturizing and, but also absorb into your skin, that are pleasant to use, that feel really nice, and that will allow people to use the product or encourage people to use the product over, you know, kind of more days that are needed to actually allow the endolysin to do its work and to get the skin back to health.
Yeah. And people, you know, I think people use something. If it's working, they'll be happy to use it. So thank you so much for coming and talking to me. It's been really fun. And I've learned more about the microbiome and skincare. I'm going to recommend it on, we've got a Facebook group called Skincare with Friends. So we're going to post on there, and you'd be welcome to come and join us if people have any questions.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I would love to, I'll make sure to sign up for that, that Facebook group as well.
Lovely. Thank you for joining us. And bye, Skylar.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.
Thank you to Skylar for talking to us today from America. I just wanted to say thank you for listening, obviously. And I'm trying to get the Skincare with Friends website up and running so that we can get all the information that's included in our podcast down so that you can read at a later date. So that's going to be coming soon. Until then, head to the Skincare with Friends Facebook group, chat to us and ask any questions. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.